welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of scripture in Philippians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church, and he says something very, very profound here that I think, hopefully, this morning we're going to be able to glean from and just apply to our lives in a wonderful way, too. He says in Philippians 4, 10 through 13, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture in the Amplified right now, and I love the Amplified because it does what it says. It amplifies. It's like taking a microscope into a little closer magnification of the same verses. Starting with, am I off here? Okay. Did I do that or? Oh, I did. Okay, good, good, good. Philippians 4:11, it says, "Now I'm in, not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, for I've learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." So here we see the Apostle Paul, and what they had done, the Philippian church had blessed him financially with an offering, and he was showing his gratitude, his appreciation to them, but he was also letting them know, too, that there was something in his life that he had discovered, whether he had a lot or whether he had a little. I love how the Amplified puts it. He said he learned how to be content, and how it amplifies that, "satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am." And in later in verse 12, he says, "I've learned in any and all circumstance the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want." The Apostle Paul learned something here through his life. This is one of the prison epistles, the Philippian letter to the Philippians, and it says he's learned something. He's learned what we're going to talk about this morning. We're simply calling the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment. Apostle Paul learned the secret of being able to be content no matter what was going on around him. And this is a very powerful truth. When you think of the Apostle Paul, too, I mean, that's quite a disclosure for him to let us know that. Here's just a few things the Apostle Paul went through. This is found in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, it says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, perils in the city, perils of the wilderness, perils of the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often in hunger, thirst, fastings, and cold and nakedness, and besides other things, what comes upon me daily, the deep concern for all the churches." Wow. It's not like he wasn't going through anything, you know, but he had a secret. Now, I go through stuff, you go through stuff. I don't want to put my stuff next to this list. But even if you had that list, there's a secret. There's a secret to getting through and being able to be content. There was something that just kept him steady no matter all the junk the enemy would throw at him. He was content, whatever state. He learned the secret of contentment. Now, when we're talking about contentment, sometimes people, and I understand there's good context for this, but sometimes people can confuse contentment with complacency, okay? We're not talking about that. Complacency, by definition, is a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with one's self or one's achievements. All right, sometimes it's connected with another phrase that we'll hear, resting on your laurels, all right? You get lazy or complacent about what you could achieve because you're too busy basking in the memories of former glories. Again, it's another satisfaction in self and complacency and a laziness and that kind of stuff. When we're talking about here with contentment, it has nothing to do with that. This is the Apostle Paul finding a contentment in God. Word contentment simply means a state of happiness and satisfaction. Paul found a secret. He found the secret of being able to be happy and satisfied in God, no matter what was going on around him. A great secret. Paul, what's your secret of success? I'll tell you what. It is the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. The secret of contentment, Paul's secret of contentment. Just a couple aspects of that. First of all, as we alluded to, Paul's secret of contentment was based on the fact that his contentment was in God. And as we look at that, we're going to kind of look at a few different things this morning that we can falsely put our contentment in. Now, we saw Paul, he said that his contentment was in God in the face of receiving an offering. He was saying, man, I'm so glad. Thank you for thinking of me, and I just know that this is going to be fruit that abounds to your account, but I need you to know something, too, that my contentment is not derived from money. There's a contentment that I have in God. The Apostle Paul, when he was exhorting Timothy, the pastor of the Ephesian church, he said, kind of going in and out on me here. Not sure if I've got a battery issue or go off on. You did that? Okay, Emily did that one. Okay. So I can go back? Okay, here we go. Well, we'll figure it out. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. The Apostle Paul wasn't just free from money. He pursued things. He was pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. When's the last time you pursued gentleness? Pursued it. This is what he's saying, pursue these things. There was something that the Apostle Paul found in God that his satisfaction was not in money. It wasn't plugged into money. It was plugged in to God. It was plugged in to him in a way that satisfied him, that he didn't need the money anymore. You know, a lot of times people think, if I can just get enough money, I'm going to be satisfied. Have you ever done a profile check background on people who win the lottery? It's not what you think it would be. There's a lot of destruction that comes when you think, if I just had so much money, it would just solve my life. That money can be extremely destructive. Plugging into money is not where contentment is. You think, oh, if I had money, then I'm going to be content. You know, the Apostle Paul said something interesting. He said, I've learned the secret. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, it takes just as much discipline, maybe sometimes even more, to know how to abound and stay content in God. I've heard that put as there's the prosperity test, there's the poverty test, and the prosperity test, the two extremes. You know, the poverty test sometimes is easier to pass because you just need God and you got nowhere else to go. But the prosperity test, you got all kind of things to finance things for fun and pleasure. and not needing God, or, you know, in the sense that you can do to distract from things that are going on in life, and to be able to stay content in God while you're abounding. That's a big deal. You know, in those, the Apostle Paul could have won the lottery and it wouldn't have corrupted him. He knew how to abound. He knew how to have more than enough and keep his focus in God, keep his contentment in God. I think Jesus demonstrated this beautifully when we had the feeding of the 5,000. You know, just a few loaves and a few fish, little boy's lunch, and Jesus told Philip, he said, how are we going to feed all these people? You know? And Philip said, what? We can't feed these people. You know, it'd take however many thousands of dollars back in, you know, in our day to be able to feed these people. And he said, well, what do you have? Few loaves, few fish. And he just took that little bit that he had. Jesus, it says that he lifted it up and he gave thanks for it and he blessed it. And it was multiplied. Jesus wasn't plugged into the fish and the loaves. He was plugged into the one who blesses the fish and the loaves. And so that covetousness, he learned a secret. The secret was in God. He knew how to unplug from money and plug into God. Gave thanks for that offering, but let them know, you know, I'll tell you what, my contentment isn't in the offering. My contentment is in God. Here's another one, unplugging from people, okay? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Not only can you not find lasting contentment through that list of things Paul went through or the list of things we go through, you're not going to be able to find contentment in people. You can't plug into people ultimately for contentment. And that's ultimately what Jesus is saying here. Obviously, when he says the word hate, he's not talking about, you know, being mean to every one of these relationships. We could go down the line and see scriptures of how we're supposed to love and honor our father and mother and love your wife as Christ loved the church and, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And, you know, those relationships are precious to God. But he said, if you love them more than me, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, Jesus is saying, I can only disciple you as far as the person who you love more than me will let you. So, isn't that the greatest commandment? It's not to love your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife or your with all your heart, your soul, your mind, strength. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. Anything else is really a form of idolatry. God is first. We love him first. And we find that these relationships in our lives, he's giving us a heads up. He's warning us. It's not that he doesn't want us to love and cherish these people. He does. But you can't plug into these people. You can't. They're human like you. People can't plug into you either. At some point, the contentment is going to run out. At some point, you're going to blow a fuse plugging into people. Paul wasn't plugged into people. There's a lot of people that deserted him, left him, things that were going on in his ministry, in his life. He just stayed plugged into God. Just kept going. He found a secret of contentment. And praise God, we can on purpose unplug from people and say, Lord, no matter who does what's sustaining me today is you. I'm plugged in to you. I'm not finding my contentment in so-and-so having a good day or a bad day. You know, that's what'll make you up and down. It'll be based on other people and say, okay, my contentment is going to be coming from somewhere else. Not only are you unplugging from people, but there's also an unplugging from, we'll just say, circumstances. James puts it this way, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Man, have you been there on some of those bad days, the Murphy's Law thing, where it feels like everything that can go wrong will go wrong? I mean, you're almost in a negative way could prophesy what's going to happen next, you know, by things. It's just, sometimes it just seems, and there are attacks that we have and things that we go through, circumstances, things don't line up, and it's like, wow, if it would have just been an inch this way or an inch that way or 5 seconds earlier or 5 seconds later, just like, oh, circumstances, things, situations, and the timing, you got to be kidding me, really? all these little nitpicky things in life that can just throw us off, make us mad. And what does the scripture say? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Some of them are little, some of them are big, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Counting it all joy. So in other words, I cannot plug into the perfection of my day. So things could, you might even start off great, and then something goes off and whatever, but to be able to stay plugged in, to be able to stay content. I'm not just happy because everything's going well today. So there's an unplugging there. Obviously, the Apostle Paul, you look through that list, my goodness, he was not plugged into his circumstances. I mean, some of those, three times beaten with rods, shipwrecked, journeys, perils of water, perils of robbers. He was not plugged into his circumstances. Praise God, he found a secret, though, a secret of contentment. And then finally, just in terms of unplugging, you got to unplug from yourself. By that, I mean you got to unplug from your flesh, okay? It says in Galatians chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is stuff that me and you, having a mortal body, have to deal with. That list. There's stuff. You know, the Bible says that there's no temptation except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, but with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When you're going through stuff, and you're going through frustrations, and you're going through frustrations with people, and with money, and with circumstances, Satan also has some ways of escape to help you bear it. We have to unplug from his escapes too. Because you can plug into these things and find some temporary relief and some temporary pleasure, but you will never find contentment. In fact, when you sow to the flesh, ultimately of the flesh you reap corruption. It will play with your mind. It will play with your body. It will steal, kill, and destroy from your life. So the Apostle Paul was finding a contentment. His contentment was not in this stuff either. This is what the world would offer us for contentment. So there's no contentment in these things. And I think when we kind of set this up like this, I think it helps us appreciate even more fully the classic verse we love to turn to so many times. And that is Philippians 4:13. It says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In other words, he's saying, I'm plugged into Christ. Why can I be content in whatever state I am? I am plugged into Christ. All those other things, money, people, circumstances, fleshly things. How can you unplug from all those things and be content? Because I am plugged into Christ who strengthens me. I can get along with people and walk in love through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this frustrating day or season through Christ who strengthens me. And he had some seasons. I can overcome the power of this body through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can plug into him alone. I love how Ephesians puts it too, just to kind of take that concept a little closer in. Ephesians says, I know how, Ephesians says, I know now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen. Again, that verse 20 in the Amplified. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or dreams. Praise God. According to, you know, I got that cut off. I'm sorry about that. According to the power that works in us. Praise God. When you plug into that, you can be content. That's what Paul was plugged into. He was plugged into the one who could do super abundantly above all that we ask or think. And isn't it an amazing thing? The power, the electricity, however you want to put that analogy, the power that was fueling him, it wasn't to do exploits and this and that. I mean, God does exploits through us, through things that we pray. But the power that was that he could do all things was keeping him content. Wow. And he calls it a secret. It's kind of what we would say, staying on message. Keeping your eye on the ball. You know, a lot of times the enemy throws up things to distract our gaze. And contentment keeps you steady. It keeps your gaze on Jesus. It's a secret of contentment. Paul learned the secret of contentment. And he learned where the power came from. That power was given to us by the Holy Spirit. And how did he put contentment? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can stay content in every situation through Christ who strengthens me. The secret of contentment. The first aspect of the secret of contentment is that that contentment is in Christ. The other side of the secret of contentment is the fact that contentment is learned. It is learned. We'll revisit our opening scripture. Not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. For I know how to be abased and to live humbly in straitened circumstances. I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I have strength again for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. This is a very important part of the secret of contentment. That contentment is in God. Okay, I know the what. Right? I know the what. I know I need to unplug from stuff. I can't find my contentment in those things, people, money, circumstances, my body, and different things like that. There's no contentment in there, ultimately. That it's going to come to an end. There will be a limited time only, and it'll end in frustration, all those other things. We've been living for God long enough that we've experienced that, I'm sure. But we know the what also is that there is a way to plug into God. And as I plug into God, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the what. Now the learning part is really the how. How do I do that? You know, it sounds great. What a great concept. But the Apostle Paul said, I learned it. He didn't start out there. He learned it. This is very powerful. There's a lot of humility in this when the Apostle Paul says, I learned it. There are things you already know. There are things I already know, I'm going to include me in this, that we know, that we've walked into a degree, that we maybe even played with a little bit and tried, and we've experienced some things in God. And as you are walking in things, you experience some things, you learn some things. And this, I'm just talking between you and God. And as you learn some things, there's a decision to go on in God or to pull back. You got a choice. You could look back at some times that you were stronger than you are today and are amazed. There are things today you're stronger in and you look back and think, man, how could I have been fooled by that thing? You can go back and forth in this kind of contentment. Because I can unplug from something, plug into God, a distraction happens, and I unplug in from God, and I plug back into a natural thing, right? Our plugs, you know, it's not a one-time deal. There's a plug and an unplug and a plug and an unplug. And if you're going to stay plugged into God, it's because you've learned over time. Yeah, I plugged into there. Oh, okay, all right, it's coming. I'm not unplugging this time. Nope. There's a process of learning, isn't there? He learned contentment. So when we read these scriptures, we don't say, oh, I failed, I'm not content. Hey, it's a process. You're learning, okay? The Apostle Paul learned this stuff. We're learning it. And as we kind of look at it, you know, he said, let me see here, in Acts chapter, I'm just giving an example. This is just a practical example of how the Apostle Paul learned this. You know, the Apostle Paul, when they were on their second missionary journey, they were kind of in a bit of a quandary. They didn't know where to go next, all right? And they kind of got to this point, you know, in the missionary journey where the Apostle Paul said, you know what, I think God wants us to go to Asia Minor. Or somebody did, or there was a leading or a sense, and they began to go that way. And then it says the Spirit forbade them. Nope, don't do that. I said, okay. And then they thought, you know what, I think it's Bithynia. Okay, let's go pack up the animals, and we're going to go to Bithynia. Nope, it's not that either. And then all of a sudden, Paul has a vision of a guy from Macedonia. He said, hey, come on over here. So Paul shares the vision. They communicate. They realize, hey, that's the will of God. They go over to Macedonia. Great revival. People are saved, ministered to. A gal is delivered from a demon spirit. As a result, the master used that gal with that demon spirit to get money for it, like a, you know, and so he lost his profitability. And so anyway, the apostle, Paul and Silas ended up getting beaten. We'll kind of pick up the story from there. It says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, Paul and Silas, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I love this little story because I think this really captures an example of learning to be content. When you're learning to be content, the apostle, I think about this, your back is bleeding and hurting. You're in an inner prison, inner prison. I'm sure the stench was worse right there. And it's not just that you're, you know, like you're not walking around. I mean, your feet, you're fastening their feet in the stocks. You're stationary. It's like the worst case scenario. And what does he do? He counts it all joy. He begins to worship God. This is learned behavior. There's nothing about his circumstances that is just causing the joy of the Lord to come out, right? I mean, if you could put yourself right there in that reality of that circumstance, I mean, these are real stripes. Your back is really hurting. You know, you've got truth and you know it, but your body is talking to you. And you are, by faith, beginning to worship God. What is he doing? He's unplugging from the stripes and he's plugging into God by faith. He's learned to do that. This is why he keeps going. How many stripes and how many imprisonments? He just keeps going. Why? He learned the secret of contentment. He learned to just plug into God no matter what he was going through. It's not about success and failure and goals and reaching goals, da-da-da. It's about contentment in the midst of those situations. So there's a contentedness that we see in the Apostle Paul, just an example in his life. There's another plugging into, not just, we could just call this plugging into praise. This is a great thing to do too. I'll tell you, when you're going through stuff, kind of do what the Apostle Paul did. Yeah, it's not going to be physical stripes on your back probably and things like that, but there can be stripes on your heart. There can be stripes in your mind, hurtful things that people have said and done that are bringing you down, and you can begin to, in the midnight hour. And you know, I like that. He says, fastened. Have you ever been in a place where it's almost like you're fastened in your mind or in your soul? There can be places of the soul that are as ugly and stenchy as this. Do you know it's not cheating to begin to worship God right there? This is learned behavior. I'm not waiting for a feeling to worship. I'm just worshiping. I am plugging in into God. I'm not waiting for an inspiration to plug in. I'm just plugging in the middle of no inspiration. There is zero inspiration in that picture. But when we learn, learning the secret of contentment is really just learning to by faith plug in. Learning to by faith plug in. Here's another great one too. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Praise God. I'll tell you, here is another powerful way that you plug in. This is just where you're on purpose, like we were saying, singing, but speaking to one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts, giving thanks. There is a powerful thing that happens when you, on purpose, begin to drink of the Spirit. When you begin to do this and just show thankfulness and gratitude and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it has an effect on you. And you'll see the contrast here. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they said, oh, these guys are drunk. No, they're not drunk like you think. Said, this is that which was promised by the prophet Joel. There was an overflowing, something that came out of their heart. You know, when you get full of the power of the Holy Spirit, it will cause you to lose inhibitions, natural inhibitions. In the same way that natural alcohol would cause you to lose natural inhibitions in a bad way, where you regret what you may have done the day before, here it will cause you to lose inhibitions where you have boldness. Boldness to speak, boldness to live for God. And there's something about this too. When you begin to get filled with the Holy Spirit, it will begin to change. It begins to change your appetite. Let me put it this way. Just the other morning, just waking up, you know how it is. We kind of take inventory, whether consciously or not, we kind of take inventory of how we feel. How we feel emotionally, what we're thinking about, just, you know, our heart and our mind. And all of a sudden, I just began to question myself and begin to think, you know, Ed, why aren't you feeling more spiritual right now? You know, why aren't you feeling a little bit more in tune with God, more in fellowship with God, da-da-da-da-da, you know? Come on, Ed. You should be, you know, getting revelations right now or getting seeing things in the Spirit or really experiencing that peace that passes your understanding, and I'm just not really feeling it, you know? And kind of, here's a perfect day like today. Just kind of wet, rainy, da-da-da-da-da. What are you feeling? And I realized something. Again, this is very humbling as you're learning the secret of contentment. You are in motion. Your contentment is in motion at all times. And there's a lot of times when, you know, you're deciding, what am I drawing satisfaction from? Do I want to draw satisfaction from the flesh, or am I drawing satisfaction from the Spirit? I know where I want to be, but there is sometimes a stirring up that we have to do. Don't take inventory, feel unspiritual, condemn yourself for being unspiritual, and I really would have been spiritual if I would have done A, B, and C. No. A lot of times when you're kind of feeling things, just let it be a barometer and say, okay, praise God. Lord, I'm going to get stirred up. I'm going to get stirred up. I'm going to plug in. I'm going to plug into the Spirit. I'm going to, on purpose. You know, Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. You can, from a moment of time, go from a place of low to a place of strong in the Lord. And all you're doing is you're plugging in. You're stirring yourself up. You know, I love the story Kenneth Hagin talks about. A gal came over, knocked on the door at 2 in the morning in his house while he was sleeping, and he just couldn't hardly believe it. And it was a gal who had dealt with some kind of a physical health issue, but she got supernaturally healed. And, you know, he thought, oh, no, there must be something else that's come on her. And he said, come on in, you know. And he said, you know, what can I do for you? Do you know, God, we'll just pray and believe God for God to heal you. And she said, oh, no, it's not that. I said, I'm fine. I'm healthy. She said, I just don't feel close to God like I used to. And he said, if we were going by feelings right now, I would have you praying for me. He was probably a little short with you. Just sit down there. He said, now just watch what I do. It's 2 in the morning. He said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you. You love me. You died for me. I'm your very own child. I'm going to spend eternity with you. Jesus, you're so faithful to me. You're for me. Your love has so much more abounded. Oh, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me your grace. Thank you for loving me and being for me. And he said, now what? He said, watch what happens to me. And he just kind of kept going along that line. He said, what did you notice? He said, well, your whole face just lit up. He said, well, yeah, it's in there the whole time. Just have to stir it up. You just have to stir it up. If you're waiting for a zap, that's not the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment is on purpose plugging in. It's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not waiting for the stars to align. It is just on purpose getting full of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, through the years, got stubbornly full of the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon, when thoughts would come his way, he would, you know, he knew, take them into captivity to the obedience of Christ, bring them into the obedience of Christ, and things would begin to happen. And praise God, he have a discipline of getting stirred up, getting stirred up in the Holy Spirit. It's not maintaining an emotional high. It's keeping the source of your contentment in God. It's realizing that my contentment is in him. Here's another passage along these lines. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, that's kind of connected to this as well, too. There's letting that word of God dwell in you richly. When you just take a little time and read some Bible, read some scripture, don't probe for an emotional feeling. When you put your eyes on those words will feed your spirit. That's not an emotional feeling. That's a by faith plugging in. And those words will speak to your heart. And the author of those words who lives in you will get stirred up too. And you'll awaken and the one who lives on the inside of you to begin to speak to you from his words on the inside. There's a letting those words dwell in you richly, on purpose, just plugging in and letting that live on the inside of you. I heard a preacher put it once this way. He said, when the word level gets low in your heart, you start hunting other things to satisfy that dissatisfaction in your heart. I think he said, you know, if your back is against the wall and the only thing you got in mind is your golf game, said you're in trouble. You need the word of God in your heart, letting the word dwell in you. Rich, there's a satisfaction. In other words, food satisfies your spirit. I mean, food satisfies your stomach physically. The word is food that satisfies your spirit. Sometimes people misunderstand the love of God because of this very point. Maybe they haven't been walking with God. Maybe they've neglected time in the word. They spend some time in the word and they just sense something that just satisfies them. And they think, oh, God just loves me. God is so pleased with me. None of the above. You just ate and your spirit is satisfied. While you were a sinner, he loved you. Get it? You just ate. You got satisfied in your spirit. You plugged into the word of God. And there's a substance and a contentment. Sometimes we misinterpret our own victories. No, you just fed some good word of God in your spirit. And I'll tell you, when that begins to happen, things begin to happen, and all of a sudden there's a contentment that you're drawing from the word of God. We're going to close with this scripture here, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Again, what we're talking about this morning is the secret of contentment and learning that it is a process. And as we begin to learn this, we begin to find out that as we are pursuing God, as we're pursuing him, that we just begin, as we're plugging into him, we get free from the other junk. Because the cool thing of it is that when I'm plugging into him, then I'm not plugged into the other stuff anymore. I love how this puts, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Again, you know, I can be over here with fear and fighting fear and trying to get free from fear and battling fear. Over here, there is God, and there's no fear in him whatsoever. And so as I am endeavoring to plug into God and I'm beginning to walk with God, you begin to walk the direction of God, and you're setting your mind on Him, and you're letting His Word dwell in you richly, and you're beginning to praise Him. As you're walking toward God, you're walking away from fear. And that's the cool thing. When you begin to get spiritually minded, you get in the presence of God, you begin to realize that you're not afraid anymore. And it's not because you're not trying to not be afraid. You're just not, because you get in the presence of God. And God just drives out fear. It's just an amazing thing the way it works. You know, if we could take a 10-minute field trip right now as a church to heaven, go up to heaven just for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden see face to face the one you've been perceiving all these years, Jesus, and have Him look into your eyes and see the glory of heaven and the angelic beings hug some necks of some loved ones that are there. See the amazing glory and majesty of heaven, and spend some time fellowshipping with Jesus in the reality and discussing, you know, His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And then you could come back down here. You know what? There's a lot of things you won't be afraid of anymore. Not because you're so tough, but because you're so aware of Him. You're so aware of His presence. There is a plugging into God that causes you to be aware of Him, that causes you to just lose fear. There's a drawing near to God. That's what I'm saying. And so there's a really good, and this is Paul now, mature man of God. He learned this stuff, but over time, he got to that point. Don't fear. You know, you can be afraid. You can have relationship issues that can cause you to fear, you know? And what does God say? He says, love those. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. You know, I found this in my own life. If I'm dealing or are struggling with a thing of a situation that involves a relationship issue, and it's frustrating me, and I know I shouldn't think that, and I'm sorry, and okay, I've forgiven them, and da-da-da, but it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and I want it to stop. I don't want it to have that anymore. You know how you can make it stop? Just do what Jesus told you to do. Every time you get that thought, instead of saying you shouldn't think that, begin to bless that person. Bless them. Bless them. Lord, bless them. Anoint them. Grace them. Satan will play this game with you all day. But as soon as you begin to bless and proclaim, that's counterproductive for him. It's not just about you and your little deal. It's about kingdom and spiritual things that are going on. Jesus knows when you pray and you bless and you do good, I'm not going to mess with that person on that anymore. You want to get them to stop? You're going to start plugging into love. Plugging into love. And when you start to love somebody like that, it forces you to get on their side. It forces an empathy. And it forces you and God to get together. And all of a sudden, you're not afraid when you're on their side and you're loving them in that way. It just goes. It just happens. There's a plugging into that love. You're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I'll tell you, after a while, you just begin to realize that, yep, I'm dealing with some things, you know, I'm overcoming some things, but I'm taking my thoughts into captivity. I'm going there. I'm keeping my mind on things above. And praise God, you want to know something? It's not a matter of, you know, you getting sick of the enemy attacking you in that area. That enemy gets sick of you taking his thoughts into captivity, the obedience of Christ, and getting the sword in his face every time. And he realizes, I got some better people I could take, you know, deal with than this guy. The Apostle Paul, after a while, he was tough. He learned the secret of contentment. He said, I'm not going to find it in people. I'm not going to find it in money. I'm not going to find it in anything. I'm just going to find it in God. The goal of my life, you know, I know we think of to-do lists, project lists, bucket lists, and all these kind of lists of goals and achievements and all that kind of stuff, and to be able to chuck them all off and feel like, I did it. But there's a bigger thing going on here. And stuff and checking things off and goals, and it's all good as God puts things in your heart. But there's a contentment in the journey. Well, they say enjoying the journey, but there is a contentment throughout. You're saying, look, all I care is my walk with you. That before I'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I remember always pursuing it and pursuing it and pursuing it like I wanted this thing. And something had happened, a situation where lost my cassette tapes, and they were stolen, and I was frustrated, and I was angry, and I remember in my spirit saying, Lord, I forgive them. I sow it. I give it into their lives. They can have it. Bless them. And I said, all right, praise God. And I'll tell you what, there was just such a sweet release and fellowship. I remember walking home from a really hard wrestling practice that day. I was strong in the Lord, excited. I remember saying, Lord, I don't even care about this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. All I want, Lord, is this. I want this fellowship with you. I want this walk with you. I want this sweet thing. And that night, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But you can't put the cart before the horse. It's all about walking in fellowship with God. And you're walking with him, and he'll add those things to you. He'll bless your life. And I'll tell you what, that contentment is that. I don't care if I'm in stocks. I don't care who says what. I don't care who does what. I just want this. I want to stay plugged into you. That's ultimately the goal. That's ultimately the victory. That's all Jesus did. That was his whole ministry. Well, Jesus healed. He did that. No, really, he did one thing. He just stayed in fellowship with the Father, and he said what he heard the Father say, and he did what he saw the Father do. But he was just connected to the Father, and the ministry came out of that connectedness and that contentment. And when we can see the bigger picture, the secret of whatever is the drama that's going on around you is just staying contented in God. That's my goal every day, is I take that barometer reading. Ed, what's going on? Get stirred up, Ed. This isn't condemnation. I'm not going to heaven because of this, but I can choose to get stirred up and choose to find my contentment. That's why I'm saying that contentment isn't something you graduate from. Good, I'm content in God. Got that out of the way. No, you're going to be continually making adjustments to stay contented in God. I love this song. We're going to close with this. It says, when you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. As you live your life walking in his life, trusting him completely, that will be your defining moment. All I have, all I am is resting in his promise. The promise that he'll make me everything that I should be. I will live, I will die for the cause he has set before me to take this love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say, I'm yours, Lord. Take my hand and lead the way. When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. As you live your life walking in his light, trusting in him completely, that will be your defining moment. What if, no matter what you're going down through here, that you could find contentment in God? You can just go to God, and where that person is discontenting you, God can content you. Financially, plugging into his riches and glory, trusting in him to add things to you, it's in you, God. It's in your hands. Praise God. That's a great secret. Contentment, the secret of contentment, that contentment has to be in God. We have to on purpose unplug and plug. And this is a very uninspired, unemotional thing. You're just doing it by faith. And it's a process that's learned over time. The Apostle Paul learned that. His goal wasn't to make certain people happy with him or certain things that all have to work. His goal, his maintenance, was I am content in God. If you're content in God, if you're walking with God and you know you're walking with God, it doesn't matter who says what, because you're walking in the light as he's in the light and you have fellowship with God. Praise God. Paul made that front and center. In the middle of my drama, I'm going to keep you, Lord, first place in my life. You're the contentment of my life. I believe you're all I need. I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because of that, I can love people. I can overcome and be patient in circumstances. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because my contentment is in him. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, that there is a secret of contentment. In all the people battles and the flesh battles and circumstance battles and finances and situations and all the stuff that's going on, there is an overriding truth of contentment that we find in you. Just the contentment, Lord, of knowing, oh, you are for us, you love us, you cherish us. Lord, of allowing your words to penetrate our ears and our hearts. To hear what you would say by your Spirit, Father. I pray this for each one. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the secret of contentment. I want to make my contentment completely in you. Help me to unplug from people and money, from circumstances, from my own fleshly desires. and to know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who empowers me. Lord Jesus, this started with you, your love for me. I want it to continue. I want it to stay all about you. Me and you walking hand in hand, content through the drama of life, knowing you have my hand, my great high priest. No matter who does what to me, your mercy and grace are sufficient for me. My sufficiency is in you. I believe you're all I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, be encouraged this morning again. Contentment's learned. You don't get there overnight. But I'll tell you, when you sense yourself going in that direction, when you make decisions spiritually, you sow to the Spirit and you have the Spirit reap peace and joy and revelation. Remember that and keep going back in that direction and continue to learn that contentedness, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because ultimately our contentment is in Him. Amen. Praise God.